it's my cue to lead us in our Bible readings, which this evening are from Revelation chapter 11. It's the whole chapter. And then Zechariah 4 with the second one. In my Bible, Revelation chapter 11 has a title, The Two Witnesses, and later on, The Seventh Trumpet. Then I was given a measuring rod, like a staff, and I was told, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there. But do not measure the court outside the temple. Leave that out, for it is given over to the nations, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone would harm them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their foes. If anyone would harm them, this is how he is doomed to be killed. They have the power to shut the sky, that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, some from the peoples and tribes and languages and nations will gaze at their dead bodies and refuse to let them be placed in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and exchange presents, because these two prophets had been a torment to those who dwell on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, Come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. And at that hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe has passed. Behold, the third woe is soon to come. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder and earthquake and heavy hail. Then we turn to Zechariah chapter 4, A Vision of a Golden Lampstand, chapter 4. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me. Like a man who is awakened out of his sleep, and he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it." Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth. Then I said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" And a second time I answered and said to him, "What are these two branches of the olive trees, which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil is poured?" He said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth."
Zechariah 4, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." And then these two anointed ones are mentioned again in Revelation 11, the two witnesses, the two anointed ones. Also verses 7 to 8, that's Revelation 11, "When they have finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom in Egypt, where the Lord was crucified." And the topic this evening, the dead bodies on the street. The dead bodies on the street. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, last week we heard that the angels announced, that's Luke 2, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also another angel pronounced the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 10. The Lord revealed to his servant John on the island Patmos, "Then I saw another angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. And his face was like the sun and his legs like pillars of fire. And the angel of Revelation 10 had a massive appearance. His face was like the sun, his legs like pillars of fire, which indicated judgment. In his hand he had a little scroll. The scroll was the gospel. And so the Lord revealed that John needed to hear the scroll. The angel gave him the scroll and he said to him, 'Take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey.' And I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and ate it. It was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And so the angel told John and God's church to continue with the message of hope, message of the gospel, until Jesus comes again. How should we bring this gospel? Then the answer is given to us in Zechariah 4, Revelation 11. Zechariah 4, where another angel reveals that it would be through the strength of the two witnesses. Who are these witnesses? The Word and the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4, Zechariah had a vision of a golden lampstand, and it was fed by a constant supply of oil by two oil trees. An angel asked Zechariah, "What do you see here?" He said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold, with a bowl on top of it, and seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on top of it. And these are the two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." Zechariah did not know what it means. An angel explains that mountains would become level ground. Again, that prophecy is also in Isaiah 40, that a new temple would be completed, that Israel would be a lampstand again. The lampstand stood in the holy place of the tabernacle. That was the figure of living in the relationship to God. It was the vessel of light, which was a symbol, a prophecy, fulfillment, typical of Christ, the light and darkness, John 1. This lampstand was hammered out of gold, and it represented God's pure deity, but also Christ's obedience, where he suffered on the cross for our sins. It means it was so precious, and so are the church, because it has its origin in God, the property of Jesus paid by his precious blood. And so the seven lamps display the fullness or the perfection of his witness and testimony. Revelation 1 verse 4 and 9. And six of its branches were connected to the one central branch called the candlestick. And Jesus explained that with the vine in John 15, that he is the vine. And it symbolized Jesus. And so every prophecy is coming together in Jesus. The seven eyes signifies the completeness, fullness of perfection in the Bible through the work of Jesus. And also the work of the Holy Spirit, the seven eyes. And God that preparing, enlightening Israel to be a witness, a testimony of this gospel message to the nations around her. If you read the book of Amos, they were to be God's light to the nations. They would be witnesses of the gospel, and the lampstand will stand in the world for everyone to see. That is the church's task in this world. Now the Lord completed that with the New Testament church, and also with the New Testament church was in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church need to be busy with the gospel, the scroll they have received from the angel in Revelation 10. And so the church is the light in this dark world. It started to exist in Pentecost. They are the followers of the true light of the world. And they received the call, Matthew 5, to be the light of the world. Jesus said also in John 8, verse 12, and Jesus spoke to them, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so the gospel, the scroll that John received, that I need to proclaim, is about the salvation in Jesus. That's the message. And the local church was from the beginning in God's plan, Ephesians 1. And God has given to his church also weapons to bring down the devil's strongholds. These means are the words, sacraments, and prayers, the instruments, and how we should proclaim the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God and unto salvation in Jesus. The gospel means adequate to salvation. These are the spiritual instruments God gave to His church, and they are the spirit's tools of grace appointed by God in His word. Sacraments, word, and prayer. Then there are two witnesses, and that's the focus of the sermon this evening. These two witnesses were constantly fed. They are the olive trees. And it's so clear what the Lord meant through Zechariah. If you follow that whole line, they are the Word and the Holy Spirit. Zechariah asked the angel, "What are the two branches of the olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes from which are the golden oil is poured out?" And he said to me, "Do you know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." And so the Lord has given His church two witnesses. According to Zechariah and Revelation 11, they are the Spirit and the Word of God. They can't be separated from one another. They come from the Lord, from our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were given to the church to bring radical growth, Acts 3, to be the light of the world. Revelation 11, we read about the strength of these two witnesses. The time of the gospel, the time we're living in now. Radical growth in the church expanded all over the world. On Pentecost, the birth of the New Testament church, Zechariah's vision was fulfilled. And now for more than 20 centuries, it has happened that the church was the light of the world. And through the Holy Spirit, people preached the Word of God, and God was at work through His Word and Spirit. And everywhere His gospel was proclaimed, the Spirit brought people to faith. Acts 2, verse 41, those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And with the Word and the peer preaching of the Word, Romans 10, through the strength of the Holy Spirit, the church expanded all over the world. Revelation 11 tells about the strength of the witnesses, also the history of the church, how it all started. And we are living in this time now. We have seen how the Lord protected His church through the dark ages. How the Lord protected His church through the Reformation to come back to the Word again. And every time there was apostasy, the Lord brought His church back through His Spirit and Word. The Lord protected His church through against the hate of Satan, the persecution of the church. And besides all that, the church grew. And the church was growing and is growing. And the church has grown in dark places where the gospel was never heard. Like Africa, America, Australia. And the church was established on all continents. And the church is still growing beyond its borders in places like Russia, China, which is now the biggest underground church. And so we read in text in verse 3 of our text in Revelation, "And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone would harm them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their foes. If anyone would harm them, this is how he doomed to be killed. They have the power to shut the sky that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying. They have the power over the waters to turn them into blood, to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire." These two witnesses will preach like Elijah and Moses. That's the whole way of salvation. Elijah the prophet, Moses the lawgiver. Everything, every prophecy, every law is fulfilled in Jesus. They are clothed in sackcloth, like Elijah. But they have received the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God. And like Elijah had a power to shut up the heavens that it would not rain. And Moses had a power to turn the waters into blood, to strike the earth with every kind of plague. So would all the preachers be equipped with God's spirit and word. And that's the Lord's promise. And so we have seen the gospel's triumph over the centuries. We have seen God's strength personally experience this here in Blaxland. And we know it's by God's grace alone that a church could be established and grow through generations already. But then the Lord tells us in Revelation 11, there will be a short time when the preaching of the gospel will be finished. Jesus told us that as well. Remember the parable about the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, just before the groom, our Lord Jesus Christ, comes. The announcement will be there with the signs of the end of age or time. And then the 10 virgins will wake up and they will put everything in place. But 5 of them, their oil was finished and the groom was there. It was too late. And it has all relevance to our text here. The light of faith, the flame of burning love were not in their hearts anymore. Their oil was finished. And they never really expected Jesus. That's what Peter told us as well in 2 Peter 3. They only went with the others as it was expected of them. Nominal believers. But they were not really prepared because the earthly things occupied them too much. Work, money, pleasure, even their families. And in Matthew 25, they asked if the others would help them. But the wise virgins could not. The time was finished now. Revelation 11 continues with this and teaches us about the time just before Jesus comes again. That time, the two witnesses, the Spirit and Word, will not preach anymore. They will be killed by the world and the ruler of this world, this is Satan, for a short time. Only for 3.5 days. This will be the time when their testimony will be finished. And their bodies will lie in the great cities which are figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. It can sound very confusing. And therefore, the principle is always to explain the difficult passages with the easier ones. So what do all these things mean? Jesus wants his church to let to the times. Let to the times and be ready as the 5 virgins. And to stay true to his word and spirit as the light. They are the 2 witnesses. There will be a time when the people of the world will not listen to the word anymore. They will hate the gospel. And also churches that are faithful to the word and spirit. And it will appear as if it will be killed for a short time before the Lord will raise his witnesses again. But it's also a great comfort that we shouldn't fear that time. This is just the period before our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Only 3.5 days. And it also means that the Antichrist and the false prophet, these are the beasts out of the sea, the unholy trinity. Because Satan calls himself the ape of God, he wants to be everything that God is, but he is not. According to Revelation 13, will govern for a short time. It will appear if they have won. Only 3.5 days. and the Antichrist would be the worldly powers against the true church, above all Jesus. And the false prophet will make the inhabitants of the earth worship the Antichrist. We see these dark clouds already. Voices that a gospel in the church should be changed to conform to the world. And a false prophet's voice is very subtle. Sometimes it sounds so sweet because it addresses your needs. And I will also tell you to change the message of the Bible, that it's not applicable anymore, so that it addresses the needs of the people. And the assumption is that everything has changed, so our methods must change as well. Our message as well. We hear that a lot in modern theology. And unfortunately, the Reformed churches are not spared by that. There are many that are listening to these. Our message, our worship style, the delivery of the gospel should change because we live in a different time and we need to be relevant. We also see how norms according to the Word of God and ethics, how we should live, should be changed. The things that our parents and we believed in, our confessions. And people are more tolerant of sins because the need should be addressed and they do not want to feel guilty about themselves anymore. So we should not preach repentance, they say. We should not preach about sin anymore. And we don't want to offend someone. The gospel is not to offend. We also see our church buildings are abandoned. And how other religions buy these church buildings. How it becomes mosques. Or even church buildings become restaurants. And so we need to be alert that Satan tries to kill the Lord's church. And Jesus warned his true church that there would be a short time of such chaos, even when the witness's body will lie in the streets of Sodom and Egypt. Sodom was the city where Lot lived in Genesis 13, but it was wicked, full of sin. There was not one who feared the Lord except for Lot. Sodom was a city of lust, homosexuality, and there were no morals anymore. And the Lord destroyed the city with fire. And this is the world where the church will preach in the last days. Liberalism, sin, secularism, hate and murder. No morals anymore. And we are living in these times, and our children are growing up in such an atmosphere. There will also be a second city called Egypt. Egypt is where Israel were slaves, and the young boys and the young children were thrown into the Nile. Even the children will not be spared. This is also an example of the terrible persecution the church can expect. And the city is also described as where our Lord was crucified. But shouldn't it be Jerusalem? Why then Egypt? And so the Lord Jesus wants us to see that an attack will be on his witnesses, the church who stays in word and spirit. In the same way Jesus was crucified in the city of God, Jerusalem, the Antichrist and his false prophet will penetrate the church, but then it will not be the true church anymore. The people will not listen to the word anymore, but fulfill their desires. But Jesus promised that he will keep his true church, that the gates of hell will never conquer it. And so the Apostle Paul also warned about this time in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 to 4. For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. And then Paul said, be alert, the Lord wants his church to stay in his word and spirit. Paul said, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, stay true to the word of God. What should we do? We should never be afraid about this. never be afraid. We live in glorious times. But be faithful. Be committed to the Word and Spirit. Not be deceived by the world and the devil. The message has not changed. The two witnesses are still the same. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we are confessing that Jesus rules His church through His Word and Spirit. We need to be faithful. Do what the Word of God tells us. Repent. Turn back to the Word of God. The Word of God is the light, the lamp of our feet. And reformed means to turn always back to the Word of God. Let us stay in the Word of God. Let us be fed with the two witnesses, God's Spirit and His Word. Let us not fear the future. For a short while, only a short while, the Lord has shortened this time on behalf of His elect. It will appear if Satan has conquered. But then the witnesses will rise again. The Lord will breathe His life in them and they will go to heaven while the enemies look on. And all anti-Christian powers will be destroyed. There will be a glorious state of Christ's kingdom upon earth. We pray for the time that Jesus comes again. And our prayers always, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and Spirit, and that we can be fed with Your Word and Spirit, that You gave Your whole Word and all the prophecies, and it was fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the time You gave us, the time Your church was established. We thank You also, Lord, for this time, the time of the gospel, the gospel of peace, and that we were entrusted to proclaim this gospel, that we will stay true to Your Word and Your Spirit, that we will not separate Your Word and Spirit. No, these are the two witnesses. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You kept Your church over all the centuries, that You promised that it will not be conquered, but that You will keep us safe, that You have sealed Your elect, Your people, with Your mark, and that we belong to You. That we, in the times, in difficult and turbulent times, can always be reminded that our greatest comfort in life and death is that we don't belong to ourselves, but we belong body and soul, in life and death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.